Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 68, entitled The Marriage of Sambha. Text number 9 and 10. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vishpujya Ruchidam Chapam Sarvam Divyadaha Sayakai Kanadin Sad Ratan Viras Tavadbir Yugapat Prithak Vishpurja Ruchiram Chapam Sarvam Vid Yadhasakya Kai Karnadin Sadratam Viras Tavadhi Yugapat Pritak Vishpurja Ruchitam Chapam Sarvam Vivyadda Sakkaya Karnadin Sadvatam Viras Tavadhir Yugapat Pritak Vishpurja Ruchitam Chapam Sarvam Vivyadda Sayakaya Karnadhin Sadratam Viras Tavadbhir Yugapat Pritak Srijaruchitam Chapam Sarvam Vidayatayatam Karnadhin Sadratam Viras Tavadhir Yugapat Pritak Vishpurja Ruchitam Chapam Sarvam Divyadha Sayakhe Anadhin Satratam Viras Tavadhir Yugapat Pritak Mataji? Text 10, tam chatibhis chaturo vaham ekakena sasaratim ratinascha mahesh vasans tasya tatte vyapujayan. Translation: twanging his wonderful bow, heroic Sambha struck with arrows the six warriors headed by Karna. He pierced the six chariots with as many arrows. Each team of four horses with four arrows, and each chariot driver with a single arrow. And he similarly struck the great bowman who commanded the chariots. The enemy warriors congratulated Sambha for this display of prowess. Purport by Disciples of his Evangelist, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada comments, Krishna book, while Sambha was so diligently fighting alone with the six great warriors, they all appreciated the inconceivable potency of the boy. Even in the midst of fighting, They admitted frankly that this boy Samba was wonderful. End of Prabhupada. Omaganam Himihanda Syaganam Kanantalakaya Chakshur Amitam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Namaham Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Simati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nevisesha Sundavari Paschatyata Satarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivas Hare Gaur Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation, twanging his wonderful bow, heroic Samba struck with arrows of six warriors headed by Karna. He pierced the six chariots with as many arrows, each team of four horses with four arrows, each chariot driver with a single arrow, and he similarly struck the great bowman who commanded the chariots. The enemy warriors congratulated Samba for this display of prowess. This is the, here in this section we're hearing the display of the Kshatriya spirit. Very, very special rasa the Kshatriyas have. They got a big scope to enjoy life. And so it's not a fearful situation, although the six Maharatis, they're coming on one person. It's not a fearful situation. Like if we had six enemies, we'd be very scared and want to kill them as quickly as possible. But here, no, the Kshatriyas are trained. They actually welcome this challenge. That gets the adrenaline going. That's the Kshatriyas really like that adrenaline when there's fear. It says in the, I forgot what battle it was. There was rivers of blood. And there was torsos and heads floating down, and there was the smell of blood. And he says, the real Kshatriyas, they became enlivened by that smell. The ones who were weak of heart, they left. They couldn't stand it. But the real Kshatriyas, it made them more enlivened. You know, it's a real thing. This is what we've been... Because Kshatriyas, especially military, they don't have much service, right? It's only when there's not often a war. So they're really anxious. They welcome a good fight to show their prowess. So here, and they're Maharatis. It's not easy to kill a Maharati. A Maharati means one can face 1,000 people at once. And their body is as hard as iron, practically. They don't mind being hit by arrows. I mean, it's common, yeah. Bhishma was, see, like a porcupine. And then they pull all the arrows out and they carry on. Their bodies are very hard. They're trained. They're Kshatriyas. Of course, this is a different yuga, just for this one. So they actually have it says they have the strength of 10,000 elephants. Their bodies are solid. So they don't really fear death. It's only really special astras that can kill them. With special shafts, special, arrows that can cut off their heads, is crescent shaped arrows and things like that. So they're chasing Samba because he's kidnapped Lakshman from a Swayambhu. She didn't choose her husband, and she wasn't really inclined to Samba. It wasn't that they was in love with, she was in love with him. He fancied her. So he went to and snatched her. And he's a young boy. He's a young sweet boy. Like Cupid. Amba means mother, and Sa means one who's attached, or one who's very close, like his mother's boy, mother's pet. That was his. That's what his name indicates. His very appearance, very cute, very charming, very beautiful, very young. And he comes in the Swayambhu, all these big kings and princes there. And he comes in and snatches the girl away. and rushes away. So they're really insulted. And they say, we have to get him. He has to be punished for this. But, you know, we can't kill him because he's already touched Lakshman. So she can't marry anyone else. She's got to marry him now. But anyway, he's got to be taught a lesson. This is very embarrassing. The greatest thing for the Kshatriya is their pride. You can't insult a Kshatriya. You can't do it. If there's a challenge, they must stand and fight. That's why Yudhisthira lost everything, because they challenged him to a game of dice, and he wasn't as good as Sukhini. So then they lost him because he couldn't refuse. They cannot refuse a fight. That's their pride. So what to speak of, you know, a young boy coming in the presence of all these great heroes, right before their eyes, he snatches away this princess. It's not very. They're obviously not going to tolerate that. But they're also not going to kill him, because then what will happen to Lakshmana? But they have to, and they know if they kill him, then there's going to be trouble, because he's Krishna's son. And you don't mess around with Krishna's like that. So then there's a fight, but he's not showing any fear. He turns and stands like a lion. Okay, come on, there's six of you. And he's not, you know, if we're in danger, immediately, if we had the ability and the weapon, we'd immediately try to kill the enemy. But no, what does he do first? You know, he shoots a few arrows in each chariot. Wow. Shoots a crescent-shaped arrows, knocks down the mast. That's a great insult, because they got their flag on the mast, right? Somebody shoots that down. So he's not shooting at the warriors themselves. He shoots the chariot driver. 4 hours, all the chariot drivers dead. They can't drive the chariot. He shoots the horses. They're stuck. They can't move. That's before he's actually one on one. So they're really appreciating that. They're Kshatriyas. They like this display of chivalry. And they say, congratulations. This boy is wonderful. He's wonderful. He's very good. And so they're actually enjoying this. So that was in the Battle of Kurukshetra also, when the common soldiers, because generally the common soldiers are sudras, the foot soldiers and all that. Not everyone's a Kshatriya, not everyone's and not everyone's a Maharati. So they're having competition, the Maharatis. You know, showing their prowess, showing their skills, showing which kind of ashes they can throw, what they can do with them. And the other troops are just fighting and killing. So, that's it. So they're showing their skills. Now is a real time to test your skill and show your prowess. Because all that's left, when you leave your body, all that's left is your reputation. So they want to leave a good reputation. So then they got to show it in front of the best Kshatriyas. So it's not so much. You know, the initial thing is the indignity, the anger which was provoked that somebody could come right in front of us and take something from us, and before we could do anything, we couldn't resist him at that time. So then they become angry. Anger is one of the qualities that's from the Kshatriya. They should become angry. Krishna induced Arjuna to become angry, right? To kill Karna, because he was reluctant to kill him. He was thinking of duty. This is Kshatriya codes. Krishna says, they're equal. You really can't kill him. You're equally matched. So then he's stuck. Karna's chariot is stuck. He gets out to fix it. You're not allowed to shoot someone who's unarmed, who's not facing it. Krishna says, kill him. Can I? We have to follow codes. He said, what about when they disrobed Drupadi? That was following code. What about when he starts to he starts to dig Arjuna and make Arjuna angry. Yeah, that rascal. And he gets angry, then they do. Because they say, all is fair in love and war. So sometimes, in those instances, then you can break the rules and nobody minds. Right? It's kind of expected. When the going gets tough, when it gets too intense, then the rules are out the window. Just like so they're showing their prowess. This is the main thing. It's like a leela sport for them. It's like when we're dancing here, right, in front of Krishna. Then they make a circle and they pull a brahmachari inside, and he's forced to show his dexterity in dancing and jumping and wheeling, so swirling around. So that's what the kshatriyas do. They jump high, right? They swirl around with their swords and. So we're doing the same thing, only this is what the Brahmins, how the Brahmins show it. And it's not to show off, not to show their prowess like the Kshatriyas, but just to amuse the other Brahmacharis, the other devotees here. They get some pleasure from watching them dance like peacocks. So. this is Kshatriya's rasa. They love all this stuff. But they're very satisfied with that, his show. This boy's good. He's good. Let's face it. But they're not gonna let him get away. So then again they all together, you know, one concentrates on the horses, one shoots the driver, there's six Maharaj, is it? One shoots a chariot to pieces. And then one shoots his weapons, so he really can't do anything. So then they can capture him, take him back, and then they're ready. Hey, 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 we got him, we done him. So on this pretext, and that when Narada Muni immediately went and told what had happened. So then they got the Yadus got very angry, very upset with this, that they kidnapped their son, and you know, they were angry because Samba kidnapped Lakshmana, although she was supposed to choose her husband actually, the Swayambhu, but he didn't do that. She wasn't really necessarily inclined to him. But he did it anyway. Have some. Why he did it, we don't know. Whether he was really attracted to her, or just wanted some fun, you know. Not much happening lately. Not much excitement. Let's go on. So that's the. That's her life, you know. That's the kind of things we like to hear about, you know, romance, right? Chivalry, you know, adventure. So then you get these, the Vedas, the knowledge, the spiritual knowledge is actually disseminated down into the Puranas and the others like Mahabharata and Ramayana. So then it's given in a story, the same essence of the Vedas is given in a story form. Because we can't read philosophy, it's too boring, we fall asleep. So there, we get it in between these wonderful stories, we get the essence of the philosophy. So this is the reason why the Vedas, and even the Vedanta Sutra is very concise. That expands, some say, into the Vedas, which again expands because it's too high for us. Then we hear this, we hear the same message, but it's woven in between adventure, romance, you know, daring, battle scene, things that keep us interested, that keep us awake, right? When we hear of the blood, and then we hear of the romantic affairs, the descriptions of Urvashi, then your ears prick up a bit. Wow, you know, she's a real hot tomato. And so we like these things. So in between, we follow the storyline. It may just be for the story, but within that, there's so many pertinent instructions so many spiritual instructions are like that. Like just like it says the Goswamis, our Goswamis, Nana Sastra, Vicharanikanu, Sadharma Samsapako, they've carefully scrutinized all the revealed scriptures and taken out the Sadharma, the eternal religious principles, that means the spiritual principles, and then they've compiled them into our Bhakti Shastras. So they've saved us a lot of work, you know, they've done all the research and taken anything essential, all the actual pertinent instructions, the spiritual instructions, and put them in and categorize them in their different writings. So all the thinking's been done, all the argumentation has been done, all the work has been done. So we just get the essence of everything in a very palatable way. We get this tenth canto. It's the essence. It's the pinnacle of the essence of the Vedas. It is a smiling face of Krishna, the tenth canto, because we're hearing about Krishna and his associates, and we can hear about beautiful Balaram, how he enters and performs his wonderful pastimes with this instance, because when Narada Muni tells the Yadavs, they become very angry. Let's go. Let's fight. They want to fight. This is a challenge. This is unjust. Never mind that he kidnapped the girl. That's another thing. But this is unjust. They've captured six of them onto one. This is unjust. It's not fair. There's not rules. They're breaking the rules. They have to be punished. Let's go. Yeah, let's go. Then Balaram, he's got a very soft connection with the others. He's a very close relationship. The Kuruvas, sorry. Bhishma, Duryodhana, and his son, what is his name? His father, Duryodhana's father, Dhritarashtra. So they're very friends. So he said, "Look, let me go. Let's try peace talks first, because you know we're related after all, and you know it's just they're all getting angry." Anger is allowed. For us, we have to control anger, right? The Brahmins have to control anger. But the Kshatriyas, they need to be angry to fight. Because, you know, you gotta see blood, you gotta see horrible things. So therefore they're allowed these sports like, you know, killing animals. They go out into the forest and kill the wild animals like bears and tigers and wild hogs, because they have to get used to, you know, seeing these ghastly things. So they practice with the wild animals. This way they keep the forests a little more peaceful, and they get their practice of killing and fighting and got to have to see all that, you know, bloody affairs. So Balaram said, "Look, you know, we're all relatives, and you know it'll be a big thing if we fight. Let me go and let me see if I can pacify them." So that's what he does. So there's a very, very wonderful story at the coming after this. A very wonderful exchange between Balaram, which we spoke briefly yesterday about. So then we're getting so many different from the instructions. We're getting spiritual instructions. What is proper behavior? What is improper behavior? What pleases the Lord? What displeases the Lord? How wonderful the Lord is. How potent He is. How wonderful His energies are working. So then we can begin to appreciate Krishna and Balaram, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then the more we appreciate them, then the more our affection develops for them. So we start to recognize them not just as the Supreme Lord, the Supreme God, but by their activities, and by their words, and by their features, you know, we begin to appreciate those things more than the idea that they're the almighty, powerful God, and He's our refuge, and He can give us whatever we want. We start to appreciate Him for what He is. In other words, we start to appreciate His personality, that He acts most wonderfully. He does most wonderful things. When He speaks, it's very deep when He speaks. And many times it says how when the Lord speaks to the demigods or something, the sages, they pray to the Lord, He comes. And He speaks, and His voice is grave and deep, sometimes deep like thunder. And it's very grave. And it seems to contain many meanings when He speaks one thing. You can take it many different ways. So they're really not sure what the Lord's intention is. You know, He's actually answering their questions and responding to their needs. But they're not exactly sure if there's something else He's meaning. Because the Lord is, you know, there's so many more dimensions than we can understand. And the Lord does, when He does one thing, He satisfies many people at the same time who have different interests. So then we begin to appreciate the qualities of Krishna. You know how wonderful He is. He's not just powerful. He's really considerate. You know, he really goes out of His way. He really, you know, extends Himself to please His devotees. You know, He's beautiful. He's charming. Everything about Him is fantastic. So then we begin to start to appreciate His personality. And in this 10th canto, we'll hear about His supreme personality, which is only understood or seen, only revealed in Vrindavan. His supreme personality, no one can see it outside of Vrindavan. Because only the ambience of Vrindavan, Krishna can feel really, really at home. Then He shows His, like when you're at home, you're relaxed, and you have, and you're with your family. You have nothing to prove to your family, right? Because they know you; they've grown up with you. When you're outside, you put on your airs and you're dressed like this because you want people to think of you like this. But you know, even if you're an ordinary person, if you're already an established person, then already that's there, because you'll have your whole fanfare, security, and all the paraphernalia that goes with it. And people are respecting that part of you, but they don't actually understand your personality. But they're respecting you as your position. They see you as a post rather than a person. But when you're at home, they see you as a person rather than the post, because they're intimate relationship. They know you. So only the family members know your real person, know you the best, what you're really like. So this is only the Brijbasis know what he's really like, because that's his home, that's where he grew up, and that's the ambience that he likes to live. He likes to live in a rural atmosphere with the cows. Don't ask me why. He's a person. If you were God, how would you live? Krishna's God. This is how he lives. He lives with the cow. His place is called Golok, the planet of cows, the place of cows. What would you do? What would you call your place? You know, everyone's different. So this is Krishna. Of course, being a cowherd also offers good facility for Krishna. I mean, he could do it in any situation, but being in the cowherd, so their business, their livelihood is dependent on the cows. So they protect the cows because that's their livelihood. But within that lifetime or that lifestyle of being a cowherd, you see, then Krishna, as a boy, he can get away from the house because he has to take the cows out. Right? So he can get away from his parents. He can get away from the parental control and the parental expectations Don't do this. Don't do that. Mother, they don't. Kids don't want to hear this, right? Mother, don't do this. Don't be naughty. Wear this. Oh, don't be dirty. You know, they're always trying to train them, but they'd much rather be out with their friends, goofing out, right, and just doing whatever they want. So he can do that because he can go out with the calves with all his friends. No parents are there. Now they can really have a good time. They do what they like, right? So they have a good time. Play all these games and laugh and joke and wrestling and playing and acting all these things. So then he can experience without any hindrance that full shakyaras and reciprocating with his friends in their own environment, right? Then they can pretend to be whatever they want, and they dress themselves with the different leaves, twigs, and decorate themselves with the different colored minerals they find. And they play all kinds of games, as we know. And then when Krishna goes back and the boys go to their home, then he goes home, then he can experience the Vatsala Ras with his parents. And then when it's time to go to bed, then they go, then he can sneak out and experience the Madhuri Ras. So it's not a bad setting for him. And then also in the midday he also has Madhuri Ras. He has the swing festival and water pastimes when it's hot, when the boys at midday they take in their tiffin, then they take a nap. Krishna says, You take a good nap, take a sleep. I look after the calves, don't worry. So they take a nap, then Krishna sneaks off to Radhakund or somewhere. Then he meets the gopis and they have their amorous pastimes. You know, swinging is cool. It's a hot part of the day, so they have swing festivals. And they have water pastimes to keep cool. But Krishna can enjoy in different ways like that without any hindrance. And the gopis, they can go out on this pretext or that pretext to go to the market to take the milk to the market or to go to pick flowers. So it's a good ambience so that Krishna can have these interactions with these different types of devotees. That's how he does it. So then we hear in this canto about Krishna's supreme personality. Because the Lord, he has many personalities, right? Avatars, Prabhupada said, are coming like the waves of the ocean. So hundreds of avatars. You know, we know the main avatars, but that's not Krishna. That's not his supreme personality. Krishna, he doesn't display all his qualities in those avatars. He displays displays the qualities that are necessary for the function of that particular avatar. But in Krishna, Braja Krishna, Nandanandan, then he displays all of those, all full qualities, 360 degrees. He displays all of those things. So therefore he's considered, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. So that's what we've been given access to somehow or other. It's not usually available, this access to the supreme personality of Godhead. In other yugas it wasn't available. Practically, say for a few people, when Krishna actually appeared in Dwapara, but actually it was, you know, everyone else in all the other yugas, they worship Krishna as the supreme God, the Almighty God, Narayan, Vishnu. That's how they actually worship him. So this is only Krishna only appears once every, what is it, 28th millennium. The day of Brahma, he comes directly from Golok. Normally the avatars come to the agency of Vishnu. Alright, we have the argument, not argument, we don't argue, but there's a difference of opinion between the Sri Vaishnavas and the Gaudiyas, that Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu. And we say Vishnu is coming from Krishna. So mostly they're actually right, because mostly Krishna comes through the agency of Vishnu. But sometimes he comes directly. We know that Krishna is the source of all the avatars. He's avatari. Ishvaraha Parama Krishna Sachi Advaita Machuta Manadi Mananti Rupam. He is the source of all these avatars, Ramadi Murtishu. He's the source of all the avatars. We know that. We know that. But because mostly he comes through the agency of Vishnu, it's only once in that day he comes as directly comes from Golok. So when he comes through the agency of Vishnu, then he doesn't display that his supreme personality. He doesn't reveal Brajabhav. And it'll be very formal. He'll be a king. He'll be married to Radharani. There'll be no Parakiya Bhav Ras, because it'll be very proper and very formal. And then the Lord Chaitanya, who comes after him, he'll also, he may be preaching the Yuga Dharma of Nam Sankirtan, but he won't be preaching to Brajabhav. He'll be preaching to Vaikuntha worship. So, but when that Krishna comes one time in 28th millennium, then he displays his Braja pastimes. Then when Lord Chaitanya comes, and he teaches that this is the greatest form of worship ever displayed is a worship that was performed by the bridge buses, and especially the cowherd damsels. So that's the opportunity. It's very rare, actually. Very rare opportunity. And it's Kali Yuga also. It's the worst particular time. So we have this in our line. This is what we're actually given. So this is very appealing to us, that we can hear about the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they're so charming, so sweet, so full of humor, exchange, and that your heart begins to melt. Then the affection develops for Krishna. You begin to appreciate him for what he is, the most wonderful person. That's the mood of the bridge buses. Not because he's God, not because he's the almighty creator, the controller, the destroyer, the power. Not because of that. Because he's such a wonderful person. He's such a beautiful son, child. He's such a great friend. And he's such a wonderful lover, you know. He has all these qualities there in full. And that's actually, that he's God is actually a disturbance to that feeling. Because it takes away the intimacy. So this is what is the 10th canto is describing. So, and this is what is offered to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In a very, very simple way, that we don't have to. It's not a difficult process. The Nam Sankirtan, the Yuga Dharma here is not difficult. It's very enjoyable. It's given us a process that is pleasurable, because people, when they're happy, when they celebrate, they like to sing, they like to dance, they like to eat something. Right? So they okay. We'll give you a very joyful process. You sing the glories of Krishna. You dance. You eat prasadam, and you drink the tasty wine of the holy name and become intoxicated with that. So that's who can reject that? What better system is that? The system is actually joyful. The process is actually joyful. It's not like the other processes. That's Lord Nityananda says, Kevalananda, that this process is simply joyful. It can't come any better. The spiritual process can't come any easier, and it can't come any better, because we've only got three words, Hare Krishna Rama. That's all. It's very simple. And you only have to do, move your tongue, move your finger, and listen. It's not difficult at all. It can't get any easier than what it is, what Mahaprabhu has given. Right? You like to chant and dance when you're happy. That's your festival. Right? That's your festival. So why wait till Saturday night, 4 o'clock in the morning, you start? Yeah, 5 o'clock here. So it's very, you know, this is what you like. So it can't be any actually easier than this. And at the same time, you get in the highest highest benefit possible, because we're getting to expose to the Supreme Personality of Krishna. That means Vrindavan. Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Tana Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sapati Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Nitai Gopinanda. Hare Krishna. Any question? We have time.